You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, your host for today. My co-host, The Kid, is here to join me, and Dave DiNatale joins us from the beautiful Galleria Studios and from ESPN Cleveland. And now I want to bring in our esteemed producer, Emmett Golden, for the
Friday Forecast.
Well, thank you.
You are esteemed,
Eagle. The intro. I try to be esteemed. You know,
you got your own show, bro. What do you mean you're not esteemed?
Well, you know, like I said, I try to be humble as well.
How do you like my Starburst fave Reds comment?
It was pretty good. Although, you know, little spoiler here, Starburst did not win. Yeah. You were alone in the Starburst.
I like Starburst too.
You know what the funny thing about it is? I could have gone so many ways. Starburst, Swedish Fish, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles.
So you basically like candy?
Oh, I love candy.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll love these questions.
Hit them up.
In the Friday Forecast, will Johnny Manziel start a game for the Browns this season?
You know, I'm a glass half full guy, so I'm going to say yes, he is going to start a game. I'm going to say that he's going to come out of rehab with a newfound professionalism, and that at some point this year we may need him. Either McCown gets hurt or isn't performing, and yes, he will start a game.
I was on record. I don't think he'll start the season, but I think Manziel will start about a half dozen games for the Browns.
You said that on the Hooli show, right?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah, I think he's going to start at least six games for the Browns this year. Because, I mean, let's be honest, guys. You know, I think it's less indicative of poor play. It's just a reality in the NFL. You get a sprained ankle here. You get a concussion there. Injuries are part of the game. You need multiple quarterbacks. And I think Johnny will get his time to, again, I think, show us what he can do.
You know, I'm not going to name exactly how many games I feel like Johnny's going to start. But, yes, the answer is yes, I believe he will start a game. And here's how I believe the scenario will play out. Josh McCown was brought in as a stopgap. I think we've made a lateral move from Brian Hoyer to Josh McCown to give us a starter to start the season. But we all ultimately know Johnny Manziel was drafted last year in the first round to start and be the franchise quarterback for this team, and that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, albeit at this point, it's very bleak, but I think can he right his ship in rehab and then come out and fall in love with playing quarterback at a high level in the National Football League, he'll be the guy at some point this season.
All right, next up on the Friday Forecast, in honor of Jim O'Neill's interview that got everybody fired up, the Browns secondary was really good last season. So I'm asking you guys, who will lead the Browns in interceptions next season?
I'm going to say Tre'Mon Williams, because teams are going to stop throwing at Joe Hayden again, and they're going to challenge Tre'Mon Williams. And no offense to Buster Screen, but Buster Screen is no Williams. And I look for him to just be an absolute stud next year, 6 to 8 picks.
That'd be great. I'm going to go with Tayshawn Gibson. I think he would have been, had he not gotten hurt in that Falcons game and finished out the year, I think he may have led the AFC in interceptions the way he was going. He's got a nose for the football. And, you know, the thing I love about Joe Hayden is, you know, he knows where his teammates are in the old tip drill. He's able to deflect passes.
He's so good.
Yeah. And it's more often than not, I think Gibson is the recipient of those. So I'm going to go with Tayshawn.
And you know what, Dino? I'm going to go with you as well. Tayshawn Gibson, and this in some cases has a little to do with his, you know, what he did last year and how he could have led the AFC and or the NFL in interceptions. But what I really feel is that this defensive front is going to get so good, and those linebackers are going to be getting so much pressure, and Dante Whitner is going to be coming in. The outside's going to be locked up, that we're going to have hits on quarterbacks that are going to bring on overthrows or errant throws. And for whatever reason, and a lot of it, as Tayshawn said last year, is via tape study, he's in the right place at the right time. So I think he can go 8-plus interceptions this upcoming season.
With the draft just around the corner, I need you guys to look inside the crystal ball and tell me, what will the Browns do with the 12th pick in the draft?
Rush linebacker.
Who?
Oh, who?
Yes, both. I want who?
Oh, gosh. I'm not really that well versed on all the rush
linebackers. Shane Ray, Randy Gregory with the pot bust.
No.
No.
We're staying away. I'm staying away from the pot bust, man.
Bud Dupree?
Bud Dupree is the name, and maybe it's just because I like his name, but that's why I'd like
and
to
just,
see him go.
And also, just to throw this out there, I know you know, ESPNCleveland.com's own Tony Grossi came out with his, what is it, mock draft 7.0?
7.0.
He has the Cleveland Browns going Danny Shelton at 12, which I concur. Nathan concurs. I believe our own Kevin Jones concurs here, the junior staff writer for the Cleveland Browns, and then has us taking Bud Dupree at 19.
Oh, Bud Dupree will be there at 19. Then I'd go run stopper if Shelton's available or whoever their top run stopper is there, and then come back with Bud Dupree at 19.
All right, kid, real quick, if Max Williams is still on the board, the tight end, and you've said your tight end is one of your biggest concerns, Ray Farmer, would you take him or gamble that he might be there a little later on down the line?
I got to gamble, and I got to trust in Ray's staff that they have a backup pick to Williams. You know, it's really hard for me to stomach, even though it is our number one need, in my opinion, to take a tight end in the first round. There's no, you know, Kellen Winslow's out there this year that really, to me, warrant the first round pick.
I had, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think if Shelton's there at 12, the Browns are going to snatch him up. I think the addresses that need somebody who can plug up the run, take up space, but also have that hidden ability to rush the passer. And at 19, I still think the Browns want to get a wide receiver. Give me the Perriman kid from Central Florida.
I don't think Perriman's going to make it to 19.
No chance. You don't
chance.
Think so?
Not
you
after a 4-2-2, bro. And again, Mel Kiper has had him shoot up his draft board. And I know, again, I take Mel Kiper with a grain of salt. Believe me, I do. And in most cases on draft day when I'm sitting at home watching, I'm making fun of his big board because everybody's still at play.
Todd,
and we're like 15
Todd,
picks
Todd.
In.
And you know what? You know, it's again, it's stupidity that's happening because wide receivers picked early, it just is shown time after time after time, it doesn't translate into wins, yet they get sexy stats, and so now there's going to be these receivers going high, and you know, I hope Ray Farmer stays to his methods and does not pick a wide receiver and waits and gets a valuable wide receiver in the second round. You got to load up.
What about
Funchess
in the second round at 43?
I'll take Funchess at 43.
That hybrid tight end.
I like Funchess.
Give me Devin Funchess.
I like 6'4", 230 with a 40-inch vert. That's what I like.
I like the maize and blue, my friend.
Boo. Emmett, is that it? You got one more.
I got one more. Yeah. Finally, on the Friday forecast, the Final Four is this weekend. Which two teams do you guys have playing for the national championship?
Ooh, I'm going to say Duke for sure, and I really think that other game's a coin flip. And I'm hoping to reverse jinx, so I'll call for Wisconsin to win in hopes that I'm wrong.
Dino?
I'm going to have we're going to have a rematch of one of the greatest college basketball games of all time, Kentucky-Duke, Monday night.
All right, guys. I have the Wild Wild Wilhelms is a group or a bracket that it is coined the phrase on my Tournament Challenge ESPN app. I am still in play. I am in second place right now behind my older brother, who had by far and away an amazing lead in front of everybody. I have three of my four alive. I had Kentucky. I did not hit on Wisconsin. I thought Arizona would beat them, but I had Michigan State and Duke making it. I have Duke, Kentucky in a national championship, and I have the Kentucky Wildcats going undefeated, winning 79-73. So I believe they will follow through and make history.
Will that win it for you?
And it will win it for me. Actually, you know what? It'll win it for me if Duke gets in, because he had Villanova coming out of the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong. You guys don't have anything on the line.
Nothing on the line. It's just bragging rights.
Yeah,
yes.
For the degenerate gambler, that's not so exciting.
You're right about that. Well, we're going to take our last time out and come back for our last segment. And again, I want to get in our perspective as we're creeping up on that new uniform reveal.
11 days.
You know, your hopes and thoughts. 11 days. And then also, too, what it's going to look like in Chicago on draft night when Roger Goodell hands that jersey and that cap with the new uniform to the 12th and 19th overall pick. Matt Wilhelm, the kid. Dave DiNatale on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.